Welcome to a special competition episode of All Things Beer Podcast.
In this episode, a group of homebrewers square off against one another to see who can design and brew the best beer.
So grab a beer and join us as we discover who wins All Things Beer.
So we're calling this the All Things Beer Great British Brew Off.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, why let the bakers have all the fun?
All right. I mean, how many words is that? That was a lot to get out, but I like the ring of it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister.
Mm-hmm.
You threw out the idea back in the fall of maybe we should have a homebrew competition. And then I thought, well, hey, I'd like to be in on that competition.
Oh, look at this. Pat's going to get thrown out of the studio. We don't want you in here getting the secrets on everybody else's inside tips on their brews.
Fair enough. So what we are attempting to do in this episode, which is kind of an ambitious thing for us, it's a new thing for us, we're going to have seven homebrewers. They're going to be competing against one another. We set the parameters. The parameters are you have to brew a British, Irish, or Scottish style of ale, so something from the British Isles, below 6% ABV. We're going to meet the contestants. Then we're going to have a couple of experts in that category. Angelo Signorino and Ryan Torres come in and do the judging, and then we will hear the results.
I think that sounds great. I think it's awesome that Angelo and Ryan were selected for this, two masters of the British ales in America.
You couldn't ask for any more knowledgeable judges.
I think I'll just be like Prue the whole time. Ooh, I like the alcohol. You know, any baked good that has a little bit of a shot of something in it. What's that guy? The first guy's name,
Greg. Paul Hollywood?
Yeah, so Paul Hollywood, he'll be like, ooh, it's a bit boozy. And you're like, ooh, I like the booze. He's got to be an alcoholic. He cracks me up. He's great.
She is pretty funny. Now, hopefully along the way, it'll also give people maybe a little insight into how homebrewers might design recipes and approach beers. And then maybe also, like in a contest, what kind of thoughts go through the judge's head, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you want me to tell you about my beer?
Yeah, Pat. Introduce yourself, sir. Are you one of the brewers?
My name is Pat Woodward. You might know me from the All Things Beer podcast, but also during the day, I am a chemistry professor at Ohio State University. As you know, this whole contest was my idea, and I thought we would limit it to British beers. I think actually British beers are almost the hardest to really make an exceptional example.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, I say that because they're all about the balance.
Yeah.
In an IPA, you know, the hops are king. If we're making a Belgian beer, the yeast is king. If you're, you know, making a continental lager, I mean, a clean ferment and great malts, and you're a long way there.
Yeah.
But to make an excellent British beer, you have to have everything in balance.
I think that's a fair way to look at it. Now, Pat, how long have you been homebrewing?
I don't know exactly, but I'm going to say since
you have
about,
to know.
About 9 years. Yeah, I'm going to say. I started with the brew in a bag approach, which lasted for maybe four or five brews, and you talked me out of that. And then I've been doing all grain brewing ever since.
That's the way to do it. How about your beer? Tell us about it.
I took my inspiration from my beer from when Ryan Torres was on the podcast.
Okay.
And that was the Dark Milds episode.
I'll be expecting a complex malt bill.
Yes. So one of the things that I learned in talking to Ryan is in a dark mild, you want to have a lot of malt complexity. You also want to have a lot of flavor, but yet it's a low ABV beer. A couple things I picked up from our interview is like, well, I use a lot of specialty malts, so I have maybe only 50% of base malt. So I think my beer is about 45% specialty malts and about 55% base malt.
Okay.
You know, the base malt is Maris Otter, and a lot of the specialty malts is aromatic to give kind of a nice maltiness to it. I am not a big fan of crystal malts. There's still pretty minimal amounts of crystal malts in here. There's a little bit of a golden roast oat.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did that was kind of interesting, when I bottle conditioned it to be a real ale, you got to carbonate it naturally. You know, you use sugar at that step, but instead of using table sugar, I used jaggery for the bottle conditioning.
Great.
It's about 3.5%.
Okay.
For the first time I brewed this down, I'm pretty happy with it.
Awesome. And this is an English dark mild, right?
English dark mild. You might remember that when we had Ryan on the podcast and we asked him what his favorite band was, what did he say?
Oh, man. It wasn't one of mine.
It was Bob Seger.
Oh, yeah, Bob Seger. All right, I'll let him go on that.
Yeah, so
Bob Seger's good. You can't knock on Bob Seger.
You're drinking a Miller High Life.
Against the wind.
That would go well with Bob Seger.
Oh, yeah, like a rock.
Yeah, but I decided to name my Dark Mild Night Moves in honor of Brian.
I like it. Do you expect to win this competition?
I'll tell you two things about the competition.
Yeah.
So one of them, we got Jim Suddeth in the competition.
I can already see that's a trouble.
Here's a few things.
That's trouble for the other Baker brewers.
Here's a few things about Jim's brewing career that he may be too modest to tell you. He has received, you know, medals at the National Homebrew Competition at the final level, I think for his ESB. He's been runner-up in the Ohio State Fair competition. That's something like 500 or 600 beers.
Yeah, not everybody can win a best in show there, Pat.
And, you know, of course, he's won the Barley's Homebrew Competition. Yep. He's been Sod's Brewer of the Year multiple times. He's going to be tough. One more thing, because other people probably won't say it, but we did have at the Sod's Homebrew meeting in February was British beers.
Okay.
And everybody brought in their British beer. So it was judged, albeit by different people. And probably a lot of those entries were in that competition.
Okay.
And the top beer was by a guy named Jeremy Eberle, who's going to be in on this competition.
Yeah. Okay.
And he brewed an Irish Red, if I remember correctly. Okay. So I don't expect to win is the short answer, but I think it'll be fun anyway.
All right. We'll see how it goes. On to the next contestant.
My name is Bill Kuppen, and my day job, I work for Nationwide Insurance as a territory manager. And I've been homebrewing, I believe this is my fifth year, and I will hit my 100th batch this year.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. I think I got over 100 in me.
Yeah, you do.
So what was your approach to British styles in general? And then we're going to get into this beer in specific, because British beer styles are a lot about balance.
I've brewed a handful of British styles before. They've all been okay. I feel like I've nailed a lot of other styles. All the British styles that I brewed, I'm happy with the results, but they're not quite as good typically as some of the other styles I brewed. I'm not sure why that is. I do like the fact that they're a little bit more malt forward. It's hard because my bias as an American brewer, what I think is balanced isn't necessarily British balanced.
Well, Americans just think as craft drinkers, just a shit ton of hops need to be in there.
Exactly.
Not the case in the UK.
Correct. And so really dialing back the hops, choosing good, noble hops, I think that's really important with British styles as well.
So tell us about your beer. How did you choose it? Why did you choose this particular style? What went in the recipe, ingredients, and process?
So this was super easy for me, just because based on timing and based on something I had not brewed and wanted to brew, dry Irish stout was just knocking on my door.
Nice.
And so I thought, you know what? Having that on tap at the house as we're entering into March will be perfect for this podcast. It's going to be great. So I did dry Irish stout. That style is all about the roast. Got good roasted malt in there in my grain bill. This is actually the first beer where I actually milled the grains myself.
Okay.
So super excited about that.
Did you borrow or recently acquire a mill?
I recently acquired a mill.
Oh, sweet.
I needed to borrow a mill
and
reached out to borrow one. And one of the guys in the Saws group was kind enough to let me borrow his. And as we were at his house milling grain, he was like, oh, you know what? You can have my old one. And I was like, I'll happily buy it. He's like, no, you're good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Done.
Expectations out of this competition. Are you going to win? Do you think the competition's stiff?
I know the competition's stiff because I know a lot of these brewers. I will say I'm nervous how this beer will fare just because, one, dry Irish stout, what most people have had has been a nitrogenated beer, super smooth. This is not nitrogenated, so it can feel a little bit more, a lot pricklier on the tongue.
Uh-huh.
It's very roasty, which it's supposed to be. I mean, I think it's dead on for the style. But as you know, in competition, judges are usually only having 3-4 sips.
Sure.
This is a beer that by the time you get to that third sip, you've kind of really calibrated. Now it's getting really, really yummy.
Yeah, but I think when we're talking about Ryan Torres and Angelo Signorino, they know the difference between nitrogen and CO2 in a beer and how it affects it.
They do.
All right.
I'm just happy to be a part of it.
I wish you good luck, Bill.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, now on to our next contestant. introduce yourself, name, day job, and how long you've been brewing.
Jamie Gentry. I'm an independent consultant, and I've been brewing for 14 years now.
Oh, wow. What are your approach to British ales?
The more malty, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely don't want them to be too sweet, so got to try and cut it down a little bit with some bitterness. But, you know, anything that I could load up with, you know, some Maris Otter, maybe a little touch of caramel, but whatever I can do to strengthen that malt backbone, I'm really into it.
Okay, well, tell us about the beer style you brewed. How did you choose it? Recipe design, ingredients, any process tips you've got?
Sure. I did a Scottish export. I have a Scottish ale recipe that I kind of dial up and dial down depending on, you know, what kind of mood I'm in, if I want it to be heavier or lighter. So given for the competition, went a little bit lighter, but I like having some flaked barley in there
mm-hmm.
for the mouthfeel. Nice. I think that's nice. Some chocolate malt as well. Definitely help with the color. You know, East Kent Golding hops, I'm always leaning on those for different English style beers. So we definitely got some of those in here.
Hard to go wrong there.
Yeah, absolutely. I went a little different this time, though. I used dry yeast, no starter, Saffale. Their English yeast.
Okay.
First time I ever used it. So
yeah.
Normally I'm sticking with a White Labs strain, but this time I decided to go with the dry.
And, okay.
It seemed to go okay.
How about expectations here? Are you looking to win this? You're up against some pretty stiff contenders.
Honestly, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be mentioned alongside some really, really strong brewers. Brewers that have brewed on big systems.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't done that yet, and I don't know if I see myself doing that anytime soon. I'm sort of like the guy, the fisherman that just walks down the street and throws his pole off the bridge. that's how I approach home brewing. I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to start a brewery anytime soon.
Well, right on. It's a good way to get some fresh beers for your house. I've had them before, and you're a good brewer, Jamie, so good luck to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Everly. I am a stay-at-home dad. And
nice.
I have been homebrewing for 11 years now.
Oh, wonderful. Do you brew a lot of British-style beers?
I've brewed a few Irish Reds and a few okay. Irish Stouts. That's it.
Tell us a little bit about your approach to the styles.
I depend on the experts. Yeah, why reinvent the wheel? I'm a PhD chemist, and that's where my expertise is. And recipe design is one of the skills that I have yet to build up. And so I actually got this recipe from Brewing Classic Styles.
Oh, cool. What style did you brew today?
I brewed an Irish Red.
Oh, nice. Why did you choose that?
So I really like Irish Red ales. My first introduction to Irish Red was Killian's, which is a little, you know, a little bitter, nice and refreshing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I like about Irish Reds is like the color. The inspiration for brewing this one for this time of year is an Irish saint. Not St. Patrick.
Oh, a different one.
But St. Bridget.
Okay.
Who is one of the patron saints of beer.
Oh, wonderful.
So.
Any special ingredients in this that you think are going to raise it to the next level?
No, everything's pretty straightforward. You've got your pale ale malt, Crystal 40, 120, roasted barley, EKGs, the hops. It's only a single hop addition. Saffale SO4. Yeah.
Expectations for the contest.
Ooh,
are you going to win this thing? You're up against some other pretty heavy hitting brewers.
I'm not sure. We'll have to see what the judges think. This beer did win the SODS February competition
okay.
for British beers. So we'll see how this goes.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, that's a good way to see if it passes through to the next round.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, so on to our next contestants. And when I say contestants, I mean contestants. I think we've got a team entry here.
My name's Ben. I'm the brewer, or a brewer in training, rather, at Thunderwing Brewing Company. Been there since October, since they opened. This is my fiance.
Jessica.
Well, hello, Jessica. And what do you do as a day job?
By day, I am an archaeologist.
Okay.
And then I have been homebrewing with Ben since about 2018, 2019.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I think going on 6 years now.
And this is Jessica Clark, by the way. Are you guys one beer entry, or are you both entering a beer, or do you get to enter two beers? What's going on here?
So she was the assistant for me on the ESB.
Okay, so it's team brewing.
The other entry is Ben's alone. Solo. I was not home for that brew.
Okay, so. Okay.
So kind of a split.
What's your approach to the British styles?
I think what makes British ales fun is they have a different level of like breadiness and biscuitiness that I don't think other styles quite get. So that's kind of what I'm always reaching for, is to get that level of, oh yeah, that tastes like I'm biting into a biscuit. Yeast selection is pretty important. I do think that they can give off a little bit of, you don't really think of it, but a little bit of esters. So that little touch at the end kind of is like the cherry on top for me. As with other beer styles, yeast management is super important.
Okay, and now tell us a little about the beers that you brewed.
Yeah, so we'll start with the ESB. This is one that I brewed a couple times, and I got the general idea of it from a book that Pat actually recommended. I think it was called like Secrets of the Master Brewers or something like that. And in the section on ESBs, he's talking about how you don't really think about it very much, but sometimes ESBs can be hoppier than what most people think of as an ESB. They have finishing hops sometimes. So the first time I brewed it, I basically copied that recipe off that, and I entered into a competition and got feedback saying it was too hoppy.
Okay.
Based on that, I've kind of dialed it back a couple times. So it still has finishing hops. It was dry hopped for 3 or 4 days, and I dialed back the bitterness a little bit. Beyond that, I think the malt bill's pretty standard, Maris Otter and all that. And then WLP 005 for the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was supposed to be a London Brown Ale. Funny story.
Okay, I want to hear Jessica tell it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it was supposed to be historic London Brown Ale, which is a style I don't think we've ever even had. And it's not a style that many people have or you find on tap often. So we were kind of chasing that idea. And Ben kind of, he got it taken care of and hit the initial numbers. But then as it was kind of wrapping up, we were like, it's not sweet enough. It needs to be sweeter.
Okay.
And so it didn't quite make it to historic London Brown. So instead, it is a
dark mild, English dark mild.
English dark mild, okay.
But we've been giving some samples out to other people, and they've kind of been saying that it's an in-betweener. I've had several people say that. So it's
okay.
It's not, you know, we've been busy. So.
Interesting to see.
It happens, but it's still, I think it's pretty good beer.
Whatever style you brewed, of course, the judges are going to have an expectation that you had better enter it in the category that they may perceive it as.
Right.
Exactly.
Sure. Okay, expectations for the contest. You guys as a team have an edge here because you get two beers. Are you looking to sweep this thing away?
We're coming and swinging. We're here to drink beer and then take away the medals.
Oh, so, all right. All right. I think it's the most confident brewer we have approached in conversation today. Well, good luck to the both of you, and thanks so much for entering the contest.
All right, thanks,
Matt. Thank you, Mark.
My name's Jim Suddeth. My day job is I work in a big ivory tower downtown that sells insurance and financial services. I work in a live events kind of capacity. I'm sort of a glamorized AV guy. As far as I've been brewing since the early 90s, so I'm probably 30 years into it, although there are years that I have not brewed, so I haven't brewed all those years. But
I think you, me, and Angela will be the only ones that can say that today.
Cool.
30 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd rather be able to say 10 like some of these younger guys, but you know.
They have probably 10 good focused years.
Yeah, right.
We have 30 sporadic years.
Sure. You've been no stranger to brewing great British styles that I've noticed. And what's your general approach to British ales?
Let me start by saying our club, our Sod's Homebrew Club, has a British Beer Fest every spring, at least once a year. And that's just a style that I've always brewed in order to enter kind of a competition that they do. My approach, I don't know, I always use a base malt of Maris Otter and a nice ESB-style beer yeast. I think that's WLP003 is what I use.
Excellent. So what style do you brew to enter into this competition? And tell us a little about that beer. How did you choose it? You know, ingredients, secret weapons, process.
I don't know if there's any secret weapons to it. I call it an ESB. They traditionally called it an extra special bitter. I think maybe Fuller's owned that as their trademark. But it's actually in the BJCP, Beer Judge Certification Style Guidelines, is tagged as a strong bitter. Unlike an American Pale Ale, it has a lot of caramel malt. So it has some caramel 20, some caramel 120 in it, as well as some special roast and a couple other secret ingredients, only because I can't remember them right now.
Nice. Well, how about expectations for the competition?
I think I'll probably come in second or third.
Okay.
Optimistically. We'll see. I don't know. I will say it's a beer that I've made for years, and it usually does pretty well. But we'll see.
Well,
there's a lot of good brewers I'm up against here today.
Oh, yeah. There are. And you make a damn fine ESB, so time will tell. I'd like to introduce the judges today that will be participating in these, a couple professional brewers in and about town, brewmasters at both Barley's, a friend to the podcast, multiple offender on attending our events, Angelo Signorino.
Happy to be here.
And over at Brew Brothers at the Racino, welcoming once again, Ryan, you've been with us before in an earlier podcast. Wonderful to have back Ryan Torres.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, guys. Well, let's get into these beers. I think Ralph's got one ready now.
Sure. The first beer that we're getting judged today is an Irish Red brewed by Jeremy Eberle.
I don't know if it matters that this was the first beer that we've judged today. And I hope we don't get any clunkers, but we got off on a really nice foot.
Very nice start. Good way to start the day.
It's an Irish Red that is super drinkable, super balanced, in my opinion. It's got a wonderful toasty aroma. If I were to find anything that could be improved about it, I think I'd like a little bit more of a roasted hint of roastiness to give it a little bit more color, a little bit more roasty aroma, and a little bit more of a dry finish.
Agreed. In the finish, it's just a little bit sweet. If it were a little bit drier, I could go pint after pint with this thing.
Overall, though, I could go pint after pint with it as it is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. I've been drinking these along with you. Well, at least this one so far. And I'd say it was really quaffable. And I don't know if it's morning, but I like that hint of sweetness in the finish. And that toast character was wonderful in the malt.
My memory of when Killian's Irish Red came out and a bartender insisted I drink it. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish it and asked for a Pilsner Urquell, which this bar also happened to have on tap, to cleanse my palate because that stuff was so sickeningly sweet. I couldn't stand it. This Irish Red is not.
No, very good.
Okay, and moving on to our second entrant. This is an ESB, right?
That's correct. And this one was brewed by Jim Suddeth.
Oh, excellent brewer. Ryan, what'd you think of this one?
I thought it was a decent beer overall. It's got, for me, a little bit of an oddly strong caramel character. And a little muddy overall in the flavor and aroma. Doesn't quite have the brightness that I'm looking for from the style.
I enjoyed the toastiness that I got from my initial impression. There's a butterscotch quality, buttery quality in this beer that, if it were more restrained, might not be as distracting. And fair amount of hops competing with the potentially lovely, bready malt character in this beer. After having finished my sample, the butterscotch kind of lingers as a slickness on my tongue, which...
Could we have some diacetyl?
Kind of distracting.
Yeah, I found it a little bitey. The hoppiness you're talking about, Angelo, was a little a little more bitter than I wanted, but not in a way I would define hop bitterness.
If I got this in a pub or a brewery, I wouldn't send it back. I'd definitely finish it, but it's, I think cutting back on the hops a little bit, maybe managing the yeast a little bit differently, or a different yeast might really allow the, there's some lovely grain in there that didn't get showcased the way that I would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, could be a diacetyl rest was all it needed. Well, I finished my glass. All that said, Angelo, if I were at a pub or even just sitting here talking to you, I'd finish it.
There you go.
Entrant number three, that's an ESB, our second ESB of the day. What do we got?
Yes, well, Ben Royster and Jessica Clark teamed up to make this beer.
What are we thinking on this one, guys?
I thought this beer had some lovely malt hidden in there somewhere. It had a really nutty, kind of toasty, bready aroma. But there's a wave of a buttery butterscotch flavor that just distracted from all of that for me.
Agreed. I mean, I think beyond the butter, there is a nice balanced malty beer with a nice hop character under there, but the diacetyl character is definitely distracting.
It could have been a really interesting beer. It had a malt flavor that potentially exceeded what I expected from the very light color for the style. It might have been really nicely balanced, but it was so hard to tell.
I mean, for me, it definitely hits on the lighter side of that ESB character with the malt and the hop, but I think there's a good beer underneath there.
All right, another possible diacetyl rest recommended. So moving on to our fourth sample, Ralph, what do we have?
Well, once again, Ben and Jessica worked together to brew a dark mild.
Now, Ryan, you're certainly no stranger to this style.
We make a little bit of dark mild.
Correct. And a great one out there at Brew Brothers. Why don't you start off on your impressions of this English dark mild?
I thought this was a really nice beer overall. It's got a nice malt complexity with a little bit of cocoa and coffee and a very faint roast in there. Nice, easy drinking beer. Definitely very malt forward, but still balanced. Just a nice, easy drinking brown malty beer for me.
From the get-go, the aroma had a really toasty kind of almost coffee-like roastiness that when I look at the beer, it doesn't look like it could have that much of that roasty toastiness because it is relatively light in color for the style. It is so drinkable and it's got a really nice bready, toasty flavor that matches the aroma. The carbonation was great. It had a nice creaminess. I feel like if I were to change anything, it would be to try to get a little bit more body in there, but that's not necessary for the style. And that could be done with a little bit, maybe more, if there is any unfermentable malt, like a Carapils type malt, or a little bit hotter mash. But as it is, I could drink my share of it. No problem.
All right. I enjoyed it as well. I thought it was a very good beer. Moving on to number five, the fifth sample today.
Another dark mild. This one was brewed by our own Pat Woodward.
Oh, all things beer. Co-host Pat Woodward. Be interesting to see how he fared. Okay, so we're moving into our second dark mild here, and I've got to tell you, the judges are somber as a funeral. I think we may have our first bit of bad news for one of the brewers.
If I were to judge this as a historical beer, perhaps there was a time when dark milds tasted like this, but it's not the way they're supposed to taste in modern times.
Clearly, somewhere along the way, something got into this beer that was most likely not meant to be there. It's got a pretty strong phenolic rubbery Band-Aid character along with some spiciness. And coming out of the bottle into the glass, it's very highly carbonated, sort of so carbonated sort of washes everything out the first time you taste it. I think one of the things whenever I've had a beer like this in the past, you know, it's like trying to remember if you tasted this beer throughout the process, you know, that could have been something that was there all the way from the start, or it's something that got in there during packaging. Just as an aside, you know, keeping good notes throughout the process and sort of following what you're doing can help you sort of find the root cause of these sort of situations when they do pop up inevitably when you're homebrewing.
Healthy, pure, active yeast starter, and maybe even a different yeast to start with, might have resulted in a beer that would have allowed what seems like some really nice malt to shine.
Okay, well, this is the first one that I did not finish, and I have to agree with what you guys are saying. Sorry to the contestant on this. And we're on our sixth of seven, only one more sample left after this one.
Yes, we're going to try a Scottish export beer that your friend Jamie Gentry made.
Oh, my brother in metal.
Indeed.
What do we think, Ryan?
I mean, I think there was a nice beer in there. I think for the style, for me, it's got a ton of dark fruit, heavy caramel character, raisin. It was the first thing I noticed when I smelled the glass. To me, for the style, that's just very heavy. It drinks more like a small old ale to me than a Scottish export. But that aside, I mean, I think it was a nice beer. There was very little carbonation in the bottle we had. I mean, that could have just been that bottle. It's tough to say, which made it seem a little sweeter and heavier than it probably is in reality, and kept the body feeling a little low or quite low. But overall, just a little out of style for me.
Okay. So not a terrible beer, just a maybe misentered.
Yes.
Okay.
I really am a sucker for dark dried fruit and found that quality very appealing. It had a toffee-like quality from the probably dark caramel malts and maybe a hint of roasted malt that went in there. It definitely suffered for the lack of carbonation, which would definitely change the way the whole beer was perceived. I think it might have been a little low on the end of the gravity spectrum, but it's hard to say because of the lack of carbonation. It didn't really do justice to the body. I certainly got a hint of alcohol in the aroma, which means that there was some malt in there.
Indeed, there was.
And now our final and seventh entry. What do we got, Ralph?
Yes, well, Bill Keppen has brewed up an Irish stout for the fellas, so let's see how they like that.
All right. What did we think of the Irish stout?
When I looked at this beer, I thought, wait, they put it in the wrong category. It's so beautiful and brown. And from the first sniff, I could tell that the color was deceptive.
Color really threw me off at the beginning. Like Angela's saying, it's really got a nice brown ale color and it's got a nice chocolate character in the aroma, but the roast is really right there. I mean, stronger than you get in quite a few Irish stouts.
In addition to having just the right roastiness and balance, it's super clean. You can just taste malt, roastiness, balance. I really think somebody put a lot of thought into this beer and fermented it beautifully.
Yes. I mean, for me, if it's an Irish stout, just a little tweak on the color, maybe a little debittered black malt or something, just to get it a little more in the range.
Brilliant. Where That's you're a great suggestion. And in addition to all the flavors and aromas that are so appropriate for the style, it was really nice to get a hint of alcohol from the aroma, which after the six previous beers, I thought I might be more numb, but nope, the alcohol is evident, which I don't mind at all.
I think it was a very, very pleasant beer overall.
Well, I can't help but think it might have helped to blindfolded the judges for this entry, but you know, in the grand scheme of things in the BJCP, the visual aspect is only worth 3 points. So it was a good beer. I would agree. Thank you, judges, for all your hard work today.
Somebody's got to do it.
Okay, so the judges have reached their conclusion. Before I have them announce the winners, I'd like to go ahead and let you know, the other night when these entries were turned in, those brewers of those beers all voted on what they thought out of the lot were the best. And of that, Bill Keppen's Irish Stout was the winner of the Brewer's Choice. But now moving on to the real judges, I think I was trying to judge the handwriting. I'm not sure if some of those brewers maybe judge their own beer the highest. I don't know. Here we had some judges that were not necessarily blind, but they did not know what beers they were drinking. Gentlemen, would you like to reveal?
The third place is a fabulous beer, and I could see why it won the Brewer's Choice Award. That would be the Irish Stout.
Oh, nice.
And it's a very small component of the score, but the appearance, it matters. And that beer didn't look like a stout. I can't believe how much it tasted like a stout, despite the fact that it looked like a brown ale. It was a lovely beer, and congratulations to Bill.
Right on. All right, Ryan, what did we have in second place?
Second place, we had a very lovely dark mild, which was also very light brown, but appropriate to style this time. It was just a really nice, easy drinking, light, malty beer. Had a really nice, like, chocolate cocoa character, an all around really nice example of the style. Very drinkable.
I could drink my share of that beer, no problem. It was a really nice beer. I can't wait to find out who brewed it.
And that was Ben Royster and Jessica Clark.
And I will add, I don't think it's blasphemy to say, as they say in elections, it was a statistical tie.
I mean, Angelo more than me, but there was a push for a tie, but we were told this was a Highlander situation. And there could
only one can survive.
We chose the Irish Red, brewed by someone Angelo and I don't know yet.
That was Jeremy Eberle's Irish Red.
The way that he showcased the malt really made it. It was tough, but it made it the winner.
Of all the beers we had today, it had the nicest classic malt character. It was just a really nice example of that style, which isn't a style that's necessarily aggressive in any way, but it was just a really nice beer all around. Yeah.
It was beautifully balanced, super clean, so drinkable. I'm really, really like that beer, and congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Now, Jeremy, come on up. Let's get a few words
Jeremy.
From you.
Yay, he's here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice beer.
Thank you.
Jeremy, tell everybody about your award-winning beer.
My award-winning beer, I can't take credit for the recipe. This was from Brewing Classic Styles, but it was a nice, simple recipe. You know, sometimes simple are the best. No reason to overcomplicate some things. So, first time brewing this recipe, I really liked it, and I'm glad that it's been well received. Saffale SO4.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thank
you. Congratulations. Right. Hey, that was a lot of fun. So, Pat, now that you're back in the booth here, what do you think of the results of the competition?
Whew. Well, I got to say, it was a lot of fun, but also very humbling to be the person whose cake collapses, right?
You know?
Yeah, my beer was off. I have thought about it a little bit, and I think I've diagnosed the problem.
Okay.
Well, basically, when I made that beer, I bottled about half of it the normal way, in normal bottles with caps that you crimp on. And then I put about half of it in swing top bottles, like the Grolsch bottles. And the infection basically only happened in the swing top bottles. And then I got to thinking about it later. I'm like, oh, you know, the last beer I put in those bottles was a Berliner Weisse.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think the lids, the rubber on the lids probably got
bacteria. So you didn't replace the rubbers?
No. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Get a whole bag of them at the homebrew store.
Oh, wow. Well, I learned
something. Just throw those away and plug in new ones. Yeah.
Okay.
And the ceramic top stays the same. It just fits right in the same place that the gasket pulls off. Yeah. Just get some new gaskets today.
I'm glad that my failure can help educate the world a little bit.
There you go.
Overall, though, it was a lot of fun, I thought. And just goes to show that in a competition, you know, you don't always know who's going to win.
Yeah.
I was certainly thinking, well, you know, man, it can be hard to beat Jim.
I would have thought the same. I've had his ESV many times, and it's always exceptional. And I know that he's won some competitions.
Yeah.
Maybe not a competition as grand as ours, but
it's pretty prestigious, you know, the All Things Beer Trophy. But beyond that, I also thought it was interesting as a home brewer to listen to the judges, you know, and having talked to the brewers to learn the kind of things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody started with good ingredients, you know.
Right.
You know, people are talking about Maris Otter and East Kent Goldings, and, you know, nobody was cutting corners on the ingredients. But yet, you know, some of the beers turned out as the brewers envisioned them, and others had flaws.
Yeah, yeah. Process is the key. I mean, a diacetyl rest on two of them maybe could have changed the outcome entirely.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, one of the things to know is that if you have a very flocculent yeast, like the British yeasts are,
yeah,
those yeasts are not great at sticking around long enough to clean up the diacetyl.
Oh, and that's a known issue with a lot of British beers, yeah, is that they have a touch of diacetyl. And not only that, in some of the British styles, a touch of diacetyl is acceptable due to that nature of the yeast.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's just all about the timing. I mean, I don't know what everybody did, but sometimes I've been guilty of this in the past. You might package it just a little too soon, take it out the yeast too soon. So maybe another 4 or 5 days or a week on the yeast might have made all the difference.
Yeah. You know, you can do a great diacetyl test if prior to packaging, put it in a vial or just even a screw top jar. It's a lot more detectable when the beer is warm.
Got it. Yeah.
Just let it get nice and warm, shake it up a lot, and stick your nose in there. And it's a lot more easy to detect warm than it is cold.
Wow. That is a very good tip. In fact, I've got a couple of British beers in the fermenter right now that I had to rebrew from issues I had earlier in the month. And I'm going to do that before I package
them. Give them a good smell test. You want to check every step of the process.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A couple other things that I think you might take away from the contest. One of the things is, it seemed to me that the judges were more sympathetic to simple beers that really, you know, let the base malts shine through, rather than, you know, some of the recipes a bit more complicated. And there were times when they're like, yeah, there's a little too much caramel or just too much going on here. Of course, the judges are not always of the same mind. That's something else to remember on those British beers. We also learned that appearance matters.
I think we were talking about this earlier, Pat. In the judge's sheet with the BJCP guidelines, it's only 3 points. So the stout was a little light. If I was judging, I'd probably ding it a couple points and say this doesn't really look like a stout, but it also doesn't look bad, you know.
Right.
That said, perception is a lot. You pointed that out. Now you've got that in the back of your head echoing throughout the rest of it. And overall impression is going to get dinged too, because of course your overall impression was this is too light.
I think we had Angelo on the podcast about cask ales, and he said, you know, we drink with our eyes.
Sure.
When you see something, you immediately form an impression.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not the right impression, then it can take a lot to kind of overcome that.
Yes.
Another thing is getting the carbonation level right is critical. My beer, because it was infected, was way overcarbonated.
It was a gusher, Pat. It got on the table and almost the laptop.
That would have been even more unfortunate than my finishing last in the competition and getting voted off the island. But I think Jamie's beer was a little bit undercarbonated, and that might have held it back, I think.
Sure.
I don't know how he did it, but if you are carbonating off of the keg, you know, you're filling your bottles off the keg, I find that to be a little tricky.
Yeah.
To get that right. So if you're entering a contest, here's some things not to do. It's not all about coming up with the most brilliant recipe, but basically about having a good process.
Oh, yeah.
Well, congrats to the All Things Beer newcomers.
Yep.
Ben and Jessica and Jeremy, all this the first time on the podcast, and they finish at the top of the heap.
Yeah, yeah. And Jeremy's beer was very good.
Yeah, it was a good one. Also, maybe worth noting, you know, the judging was on St. Patrick's Day, and two Irish styles finished in the top three.
Isn't that great?
Maybe a subliminal message there. Well, I hope everyone enjoys this, and I want to say, you know, if you do enjoy it, let us know, because we're thinking, you know, we might do an episode like this again if it resonates well with the community.
Sounds good.
All right, Mark. Cheers.
Peace out.
And as I rode out through Galway.